Well, I want us to turn this morning to the book of Ephesians. So you might need to open a Bible app. If you have your Bible, do that. But we're going to be in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in two passages specifically this morning, because already today, just seeing people here in the band worship in this room for the first time, getting to be a part of it, Kid City going on downstairs, like, man, I'm blessed and fired up to be here today. And I'm sure that there are people who didn't get the message about 10:30 being canceled, so I'm probably going to stick around and do something for them, right? I just want to be here, right? I wish the sun was shining today so that we could kind of do this longer, right? And that we didn't have to combine one service, because today is a fun day. And I want to give you the big idea for this series. So we're in this series called Being a Gift. Look at somebody and say, you're a gift. You're a gift, man. And so we want to talk about what this looks like. And that's me, or what is it, me? I'm glad my mic is down, because it really works well with where we're going today. And you'll understand in a second. But here's the big idea for this series, as we move in through Christmas Eve, is that we believe, the elders, that God has given Kansas City the gift of New City Church. Like, we believe this, that this church is a gift to the city. And during this Christmas series, we will inspire the people of New City Church to live like Jesus as we pursue left. Right? And the wrapping paper and the bow, that is the outside of your life. That's your testimony. That's how you go about and how you carry yourself. And yeah, your every rip and every tear, every scar is a story that you have, but it's not the gift. Because just like this gift right here, the gift is always on the what? It's the inside. You don't get a gift to go. You might think the wrapping paper is nice, but my mom is the one who collects the bows after Christmas holiday, right? Like, we have a bag of bows, and if somebody throws a bow away, you will get yelled at in my home. But the bow isn't the gift, and the wrapping paper isn't the gift. The gift is what's inside. And the same is true with us today, right? The gift is within you. And one of the things that we're going to do a better job of is we're in this new facility, because we've done this, but not well. And starting today, we're going to do a better job of this. And that is acknowledging the gift that is within us. We're going to do a better job acknowledging that God has gifted us things, gifted us a person. And we're going to begin to acknowledge the Holy Spirit more. We allude to it. We make the assumption. But as a church leadership, I'm going to make sure that we don't just kind of sweep the Holy Spirit under the rug and make the assumption that you know who's leading us, that you don't assume who's gifting us. Like, we're going to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in the midst of our ministry. Are you good with that? It may freak some of you out. Don't. Because this is a very good thing, right? Now, today is a great day to talk about this gift, because we're in this new space, and I highlighted this because this is true. Myself and us as a church body, we're a lot like this building today, okay? We look good. We are blessed. And there are things that are better than there ever been. Like, can we agree that this is better than the theater? Yes. Come on, can we just say thank you, Lord? Right. This is better. However, right, we can also clearly see that there's a lot of work to be done. Right? There's a lot of work to be done. There, like, over this, the reason that we started today, the day after Thanksgiving week, is because we're marching towards our grand opening on January the 13th. This is not the grand opening. We're marching, and so we're going to take today and all of December to figure out what's not working right. And so if you come in and you're like, well, why did that happen? Well, that wasn't a very good presentation. Duh. Right? Like, we're letting it, like, Kingdom Living's doing the same thing. Like, we're just working through all of the messes so that when we get to January, that, man, we've got this thing in good shape. Are you with me? So here's what I ask of you, right? As you walk around this new space over the next several weeks and you look and you see the trim, right? I kind of wrote it like this. As you walk around this new space and you see things that are unfinished, simply say, me too. Are you with me? Remember that old song maybe you sung when you were a little kid? He's still working on me. No? Okay. Yeah, Google it. It's great. It's one of the few songs I remember from my childhood. If you see something that could look better, just confess, me too. Right? If you hear something that you think could be heard better, just say, me too. And just like this building, God is still working on me. He's working on you. He's working on us to get us to look and function the best possible way. We are under construction. So today I want to teach us about this gift. I want to talk about two gifts that Jesus gives us that we learn about in the book of Ephesians. And so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look in verses 12 and 14 first, right? Ephesians 12 and 14. If you have your app, open that, click on that, whatever you want to do. quick. Here's what Paul, now, if you're new to the Bible, or you're not familiar with the book of Ephesians, Ephesians was written to a bunch of pastors to help them best understand how to lead a church into full maturity. So Paul wrote this letter that was going out to a bunch of pastors who were leading congregations, trying to help them and lead them into leading these people who were following Jesus into full maturity. Ephesians 1, 12 to 14, this is what Paul says. He says, God's purpose was that we Jews, because Paul was Jewish and the first followers of Jesus were all Jewish. He says, God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles, that's everyone who's not Jewish, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saved you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the what? The Holy Spirit, the capital G gift. Right, let me read that last part again there. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. And so when I talk about capital G gift, I'm talking about the Spirit. Little g gift could be a number of things. Whom he promised long ago, verse 14. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. So God's done something so that. I love those two words, so that. And we got to do better as a church body with the so that. The reason we have to better acknowledge God's working in us through the Holy Spirit is so that we will praise and glorify him. Because as the Holy Spirit gets bigger in our lives, when you come in for worship and the band's up here, or I'm up here speaking, or whoever's up here leading, whoever's speaking, it's really not about us. It's about the Holy Spirit, the capital G gift, being big in your life, where you come in ready to glorify and praise no matter what's going on up here. And the way that the Holy Spirit, I believe this, gets bigger in our life is we acknowledge his presence more and more. We acknowledge his presence more and more. We acknowledge his presence more and more. And so I want to kind of walk through this really quick for us to understand. So here's what is important from Ephesians 1, Ephesians 12 through 14 is a lot. But I want to pull out a few things that I feel like are important. Here we go. First of all, is that you and I are blessed that we've had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Did you guys see the missionary in India that was killed this past week? He was in India to some remote tribes trying to share the good news with them, and he was murdered. He was killed. And right now they're trying to get his body back. It's been buried, and they're trying to find exactly where he's buried so they can get his body back. But he was doing his best to proclaim, right, the gospel. You and I, like, nobody's going to kill you because you came in here today. You and I have, I hope not, we don't have the excuse, right, to say, oh, well, I didn't hear the gospel. But here's the truth. Here's the good news that Jesus saved you. I'm going to read this because I don't want to mess this up. Because as I was writing this, this is a part that got me fired up, right? This is a part that made me thank the Lord. It says, this good news is that God loves you so much that he gave his son Jesus for you. We learn from our Bible, and you can learn this too, right, that Jesus lived a perfect life, that Jesus died an intentional death, and 3 days later, this perfect, dead, on-purpose Jesus came back to life. That Jesus lived, that he died, and that he lived again. That is the gospel. Now, how and why are great questions. How could Jesus be perfect? And why would Jesus die on purpose? And how could Jesus come back to life? Perfect, on purpose, and resurrection. When I heard these truths, I believed Jesus was God in the flesh. Because if he's not truly God, how can he be perfect? If he's not truly God, why in the world would he die on purpose? And if he's not God, how in the world could he resurrect on the third day? The man was God in the flesh. And that is the good news that we heard. That is the gospel that we proclaim over and over. And so we have to, well, I don't know if I'm into this God thing. Listen, who else do you know who's lived perfectly? Who else do you know that gave their life for you? Even the bad people. And who else do you know that came back to life? I'll tell you, I only know of one. And he deserves and has earned my love and my devotion and my loyalty. You don't have to understand everything about him right now to say yes to Jesus. You just got to acknowledge, man, I believe you did those things. And that's where the relationship starts. That's where the relationship starts. And if you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, then what a great day. Just remember the blizzard of 2018. If that happens, right? Is the day when I gave my life to Jesus. Now, here's the fun thing. Stay with me, all right? Here comes that capital G gift part. That scripture, let's look at that scripture again. It says, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by what? Giving you the gift of the Holy and believe that Jesus was God's Son, that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, when Jesus resurrected from the grave, Scriptures teach that Jesus gives you, isn't that fun, that Jesus gives you something. In 2018, if you accepted Jesus today for the first time, that Jesus who's resurrected supernaturally gives you the capital G gift of the Holy Spirit. And why? There's two reasons in chapter in this verse, 12 through 14. There's two reasons that Jesus has gifted us with the Holy Spirit for those who have believed. And they're both dealing with a guarantee, right? I want to define the word guarantee real quick, all right? Anybody ever bought anything that was guaranteed? Right? A few, nobody's ever bought the great. Awesome. Okay, so here's what a guarantee means, right? Have you ever told somebody, I guarantee it? Yeah, right? I guarantee it, right? Here's what a guarantee means if you look it up. A formal promise or assurance that certain conditions will be fulfilled. And this is the thing about the Lord, right? You hold true to His promises, just what we were singing about earlier. Like, this is a fun thing, that when Jesus does something, when Jesus says something, we get to hold Him to His word, to His promises, that He is faithful, and He will not ever let us down. So there's two things that God does when He gives us, that Jesus does when He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the gift guarantees that God will give us the inheritance. God guarantees that you and I have something waiting for us, and it's something good, right? Now, many of you, maybe you got a big inheritance coming your way. Maybe you don't have an inheritance coming at all. I have no idea. But spiritually speaking, for those of us who have believed and confessed Jesus, the Holy Spirit, every time you sense the Holy Spirit, like Stanton gave a personal testimony of his experience when the Holy Spirit said his name, Stanton. And each and every time from that point, when the Holy Spirit reveals himself, whether through deed, through word, through whatever it might be, however he chooses to move, it's a guaranteed reminder. Hey, Stanton, there's something waiting for you, buddy, that you're going to love. Now, I don't know when that inheritance is going to show up. I don't know if it shows up all the way when we die and we're in the city of God. I don't know if it shows up this afternoon. I have no idea. It might show up. It might be both. But all I know is that Jesus gifted us the Holy Spirit, right? He gifted us the Holy Spirit as a reminder of a guarantee of a promise. So anybody in a bad situation right now? Anybody in a bad spot? Here's what's going to get better. If in Christ, there's something better coming. Here's the second guarantee. The gift guarantees that you belong to God. And this is what the people of God need to hear. We need to hear both of these. But sometimes we get lost on inheritance because that's down the road. The second guarantee deals with right now, today, in this very moment. And the second guarantee talks about that you belong to God. If you look in that scripture, it says that He is a guarantee that He will give us an inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. You don't belong to you. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't belong to you. You have been bought with the beautiful price of Jesus' precious blood. God owns you. You belong to Him. Well, I want to do... No. God owns you. And every time you're going about your life and you're trying to do it your own way, and that Holy Spirit comes and convicts you, anybody ever sense that? Anybody ever sense the Lord trying to get your attention? Of course you have, right? As followers of Jesus, you can't miss that because it's a guarantee that when you try to go your own way, who used to sing that song? You can go your own way. Right, whoever sung that, when you try to live out that song and go your own way, the Holy Spirit must convict you because it's the guaranteed promise that you belong to God. Now, just because He convicts and just because He whispers, hey, that doesn't mean that you obey. Can we agree that? Because we've all been convicted of certain things and we haven't said yes to the Holy Spirit. We've continued to do what we want. And then we often suffer consequences for those actions, right? But the Holy Spirit's guarantee when Jesus gave it to us was He is the reminder, the capital G gift, is that you were bought with a price and you don't get to go and do whatever you want to do. But you belong to the Lord. And that's why we say, as Stan said in his testimony, that Jesus is both His Savior and His Lord. Like, and that was the message of the earliest church. It's not about, hey, you're saved, now go do what you want. It's that you are saved and you belong to me, baby. Look at the person you came with and say, you belong to Jesus. Tell them. Like, we need to be reminded of this, right? Because Jesus knew, just like you know, that there are days when we forget who we belong to. Amen? We forget who we belong to. And it is on these days when the guaranteed gift reminds you and convicts you of who you are. Now, that's the first thing Jesus gives us. He gives us the capital G gift, the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee of a future promise and a reminder of who you belong to. But in Ephesians, Jesus also gives the church something else. And this is so remarkable, okay? He's giving you two awesome gifts. These are fantastic. And we're going to begin to acknowledge both of them. Right? Because the Holy Spirit leads us to how we incorporate the second gift. Flip in your Bibles to Ephesians 4 or click on your app to Ephesians 4. All right? Flip or click. I don't care which one. And I want to show you this one, okay? If we're going to do the things that we believe God wants us to do in this place, then it's going to take us acknowledging the Holy Spirit. Like Chuck's got to begin to seriously acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is within his life, right? That you have a future promise, right? Just like this building, God's still working on you, right? And that you belong to God, so that you can't go do what you're... Jesus said, be careful that the salt doesn't lose its saltiness, right? Because you're just trampled underfoot. Who takes a light and puts it under a bow? No, you got to let that light shine. And that's what the role of the Holy Spirit is, that it keeps us accountable to the mission that we're on under the Lordship of Jesus. Are you with me? Now, what do we do with that? This is Ephesians 4, okay? And this is so much fun. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Now, these are the gifts, who? Christ. All right, we have a foreign exchange student named Zen. She's from Vietnam. Zen came to America with, never had seen a Bible, has no knowledge of the scripture. She's been with us 3 years. And she had an interesting question this weekend. Who is Christ? She's like getting confused. And you know what? I know, but I don't know why. I had to Google it. Like, why do we call Jesus Christ? Like, you know why? Messiah. All these different names. And for her mind, I've just kind of grown up in it, and I just know that when I read Christ, it's talking about Jesus. But for Zen, she's like, who's this Christ person now? I'm so confused. And I had to say, oh, no, Zen, that's Jesus. When you see Christ, that's like reading Jesus. So these are the gifts Jesus Christ gave to the church. Okay, you ready? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to what, church?
Equip.
Equip who? This is important, right? Jesus has given five intentional gifts, right? I can't say the word, the S word, specific. There, I just nailed it. Perfect. All right? God gave us five intentional gifts so that we could equip the church, right? Okay? To equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until how long? All come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So God, Jesus, has gifted the church, those who have believed, with the gift of his Holy Spirit, who guarantees an inheritance and guarantees that you belong to God. So man, that Holy Spirit, we have to acknowledge that. Spirit, thank you for your leading. And then Jesus comes along and he gives five gifts to the church so that we can equip one another for the work of the ministry. And this is going to keep going on. That's the plan until what happens? Until the church is the full and complete standard of Christ. And so we have to acknowledge the Holy Spirit if we're going to really step into the ministry that God has put us here for. And if we're really going to own Merriam, and own Shawnee, and own Edgerton, and own Loma Vista, and own the, I mean, if we're really going to be proclaiming the gospel, then we have to acknowledge the Spirit, the capital G gift, and we have to understand the gifting that God has put in us. That you are the gift. That's why we slapped that name tag on you today. That's why we gave you that name tag. It's because you're going to leave this room, and the Holy Spirit still resides in you because you are the temple of the living God, and you're going to go out there to all your different places, and you're going to have the opportunity to function within your specific giftings so that we get stronger as a body. This is a fun thing. Can I give you a quick rundown of the five gifts? Are you ready? They're going to be on the screen for you. Okay? Here we go. I want to read them along with you. How has the Holy Spirit gifted you? This is something that we want you to discover this week. All right? He goes, sometimes this is called APEST, the first letter of each of the words. APEST. Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist, Shepherd, Teacher. And these are the gifts that God has given New City Church and every church in Kansas City that proclaims his name. He has given these five gifts to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to mature the body to a complete standard of Christ. All right? And so these are the five things. First one is the apostolic gift. And if you're apostolic, here's how you might know it. You love to start new things. Who loves to start new things? I love to start new things. Right? Right? And so sometimes the apostolic is thought of with a thumb. You're like the hitchhiker looking for the next deal. Right? You're looking for the next ride. You're ready to go, right? Like, and sometimes us apostolic people, we just got to stay. You apostolic people, you need to stay. You need to run the play. Don't change the offense because you're frustrated. Run the play. Us apostolic people, you know what? Sometimes like a horse, we can put blinders on our eyes. We need to stay focused on the thing that God has called us to instead of chasing every good and next idea. Amen? Apostolic people, raise your hands. Please hear that. Right? Stay. Let's run the play. The prophetic person in the room. This is important for the prophet. The prophet says, I'm passionate about God and being and that God is the priority in all we do. They are passionate that we hear from the Lord, and they're passionate that God is the priority in all we do. Who are my prophets in the room?
Woo!
There we go. All right? So sometimes the prophet gets described with a pointy finger. Have you ever done this? Come on. Moms, dads, have you ever done this? Right? Remember, whenever you point at somebody, there's three pointing back at you, right? So, yeah, you point. Sometimes the prophet is really, it's really important for the prophet that you hear what God says. Like, just don't go chase stuff, you apostolic people. Just don't go after the neighborhoods of evangelists. Why are you doing it? Have you heard from the Lord? I mean, like, Anita was the one that hollered, and Anita and so many other prophets that raised their hand this morning are so good about attaching scripture to what we're doing so that it's built upon the Word of God. Because us apostolic people and us evangelists specifically, we can stay so busy doing good stuff that we never do the thing God says. Now, here I talked about the immature apostle needs the blinders like a horse. Here's the immature prophet. An immature prophet will tell you what God says and what you should do about it. A mature prophet will say, hey, I got a word from the Lord for you. Sit in it. Marinate. Tell me what he says. You with me? Don't be like this. Point them to the scripture, you prophets in the room. The E, the evangelist, right? The evangelist says this, I love to tell people about God. Who are the evangelists in the room? Raise them high. There's Sherry. You got Greg Peterson back there. Yeah. Only a few hands went up. But you're like the natural salesman. How many of you guys, like when you eat somewhere good, you got to tell everybody about it? Any of you guys? You may be more evangelist than you think. Or you buy a pair of shoes and you just got to let people know about it, right? Like, you got to get these shoes. These socks are fantastic. This underwear are awesome, right? And you just got to tell people about all of the things that you've bought and experienced. You're probably more evangelistic than you think. The evangelist sometimes gets described as the middle finger. Because he sticks out or she sticks out a little further than everybody else. The evangelist is really good about having one foot inside the church and one foot inside the community. Say, hey, come. You got to come check us out. You got to join what we're doing. Hey, you don't want to miss our grand opening. I'm an evangelist. I want to recruit people to the cause. And an immature evangelist, and I will not do this because we're in a new church and we're on Facebook Live, but an immature evangelist can be oftentimes offensive because they're not socially aware. Are you with me? And they come across with this finger coming down and this finger coming down and this finger coming down, and they still love Jesus really big, but the world goes, whoa, you're weird. Back off. Are you with me? So don't be weird. Be salty. Be the light. Don't be weird. Okay, cool. How about this next one? The S is the shepherd. And the shepherd says, I love leading, I love caring, and I love protecting the church people. Right? You're loyal, and you just care about people. Who are my shepherds in the room? Yeah, there's a lot of you. And listen, keep them raised. This is exciting. Right? Like, we don't need a lot of apostolics, but we'll keep us all busy, right? But for what I believe God is going to do in this place, we need more shepherds. We need those who are going to care and teach and encourage and guard. A shepherd is like the ring finger. Those of you who have your wedding ring on, look at your ring finger. This right here speaks to loyalty. It speaks to how your heart belongs to someone else. And some of you are going to be and have the opportunity to step into the gifting that Jesus has given you, that the Holy Spirit's going to continue to nudge in your life, to be the shepherd of this church that we call New City because you love it. And you're going to shepherd it. And it's important for you that people get greeted. It's important for you that people get followed up with. It's important for you that people get prayed for and cared for. And it's important for me that you are equipped to do your job because guess what I'm not? A shepherd. Like, I know how to shepherd, but you people exhaust me. Just like if you guys who didn't raise your hand for evangelists, if I said, hey, after church, we're all going to go door to door, you'd be like, oh, no, I'm not either, man. Right, I can't do that. That scares me. Like, I know how to shepherd. And I think I can be good at it sometimes. But ask my wife, Jen. I go home and collapse on the couch because it drains me. Right? Because it's really hard for me. Apostolic and evangelism, let's roll. Try to keep up. The shepherds, man, I personally need you. I need you. Pastor Curtis right here, your shepherd counter, right, Curtis? He's a big shepherd. Curtis has been our communications director for quite some time at New City Church, but in this season of acquiring another property and communication gets nuts and crazy with four campuses, we've brought on a part-time communications director. Her name is Libby Thornton. And so in that, we've promoted Curtis to the associate pastor of our Shawnee campus. Let's give thanks to God for that. So Curtis is going to continue to lead us in worship on Sundays, but his role also is going to be helping me shepherd this church alongside the elders of Shawnee. So if you're one of my elders here in our Shawnee campus or executive elders, would you guys please stand with your wives as well at this time? Come on. These are the men and women who help shepherd this church body. Just a moment, you're going to get to hear from Eric's wife, Melanie, as she shares her story. And I'm excited to hear that. But we got to have the shepherd. Now, the last one is the T. And the T is the teacher, right? Here's how we describe this one sometimes, is that you are passionate about teaching God's truth or teaching others about God. How many of you just love to teach? Who are my teachers in the room? Yeah. And some of you are great at this. I saw the hands go up. Is that you love to take something that might be complex and try to explain it in a way that Matt Miller can understand it, right? That we want to be good, effective teachers. And so if you're a teacher in this room, again, my responsibility is to equip you so that you can exercise your gifting that Jesus has given you, how Jesus has gifted you, so that you can teach all of these new people who are about to start attending New City Church biblical truth. Amen? Now, here's the danger of teachers. There's two. Some teachers only want this spot right here. They want the bright lights. We make you earn it. Can I be honest with you? Like, I get nervous when I feel like somebody just wants to be famous. So we ask our teachers to teach in Kid City. Oh, I don't want to. That's just kids. Fail. Right? Also, the danger of teachers is that they want to explain everything they know in 30 minutes. You did this at Thanksgiving with your plate, right? Your plate was this big that you put this amount of food on, right? And sometimes the teacher wants to take every word they've ever heard or learned and try to dump it on a classroom setting in 30, 45 minutes. And so the discipline of the teacher is to be confident and secure in their position of where they get to teach and also be able to give it in bite-sized morsels that the people eating can take it and digest it and understand it. But again, that's an equipping responsibility. It flows from this stage through the elders all the way through the rest. That we are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I just want to kind of start today by saying that's what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to keep talking about through this series. We're going to continue to acknowledge the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. And I'm telling you something, you want to be white hot for Jesus? You want to grow in your faith? Start acknowledging the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. Every time you feel like he nudges you towards a conviction of sin, say, thank you, Lord, for the guarantee that just prodded my heart. Every time that you're in a bad moment and you kind of get this gentle nudge to hang in there to keep your faith, man, Jesus, thank you that the Holy Spirit just, I acknowledge that he just nudged my soul that, man, I have got a promise waiting for me. And then say, Jesus, you've given me a gift, and I'm going to begin to step into that gift, and I'm going to use it. It's not for you, and it's not for your fame. And it's not, I love what Stanton said about his identity. It's not so people come and pat you on the back and look at how great you are. It's for the person next to you. And it's for the person that has not yet came to this church. Amen? And that's where we're going. And we're going to fill this house. Actually, I know it's way too soon to talk about this. We're going to outgrow this space. What? Matt, can we just get through one service first? No, we can't. I'm a big A. We're going to outgrow this place. You guys take it however you need to. There's multiple layers of meaning on that one. Right? And they're all, Brandon's giving me thumbs up. They're all accurate, right? But you know what? I am stubborn. And I will not quit. You hear me? Guys, we've already won. And here's what you got to know about me. If you're waiting for the day where Pastor Matt's content and satisfied, it'll be at my funeral. I'm never go home on Sunday and go, we did it, we're done. No. You know why? Because if you just look this way and pretend you can see through those walls, there is hardly any neighbor in this direction that worships at this church. My kids go to Benihoven. The Miller family, as best as I know, is the only family that goes to that school right there that worships at this church. We have a lot of work to do. And I am so grateful and thankful for what God has done. But guys, listen. I'm going to acknowledge the Spirit's leading and equip you guys to reach this neighborhood. Amen? Amen.